Welcome into a brand new episode of the RSL Show. I'm the intern, Alex Napolis. Alongside me today is Joshua Clark. Josh, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
You know, I'd be maybe a little bit better if RSL was still in the playoffs, you know?
You know you like the break.
It is nice because, like, now with everything else that I'm doing, RSL is now off my plate. And so I don't really have to worry about working all the RSL games. And so I can just focus on everything else that I have going on.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Today I was just like, man, I feel like I have something to do this weekend. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it's weird. Like the three or four months when you don't have RSL, like the void you feel. Because like I legitimately don't really have anything to do this weekend. And that's the first time in a minute. So I'm a little grateful because feeling a little tired. But I am also sad that, you know, there is no more RSL for this season.
For sure. Like I said, right now I'm like excited that it's off my plate, but I know that in like maybe a month or a month and a half, I'm going to be like, dang, I miss RSL.
Yeah. As soon as like a first player move happens or, you know, the new kit gets leaked, which again, it's beautiful. You know, once those things start to come around and get you excited again, that's when the itch really starts.
All right. So let's jump into the season ending match for Real Salt Lake. It was game three heading to Houston. I can't remember if we were confident heading into this one. I wasn't. I thought it was going to go to PKs, and I think I might have said if it goes to PKs, RSL edges it out because they have already done that, and obviously that's not what happened.
Dude, how deep do you want to get into this?
Well, let's start at the top of the match where, in the first half, if I remember right, the first 10 or so minutes, I was like, okay, like RSL isn't doing too bad. And then Houston just kind of grew into the game and really had RSL on edge. And then all of a sudden, 28th minute, Corey Baird, who of all people, it had to be Corey Baird, puts Houston up 1-0. In this one, assisted by Hector Herrera.
Yeah, of course it's Corey, right? And, you know, I'm going to stand by this. He's got to be one of the most obnoxious players in the league. And I'm not saying that because of how he left RSL and all that drama, but, like, when you watch him just complain to the referee, to the teammates, dude, the guy is insufferable. I would pay good money to have him, like, mic'd up because I want to hear what he's saying this entire time.
I agree. I remember literally right before the goal, he got a yellow card and he was just in the ref's face for a solid 5 minutes after he got the yellow, and he was just chirping at the ref the entire time. And it's antics like that. I don't know why. It just annoys me.
Yeah. So it sucks that he scored for them. And like, I could honestly see him ending up on like SKC or Colorado one day and just being a thorn in our side forever.
I think right now he has a pretty comfortable spot in Houston. This is probably his best season he's had as a professional.
Probably, but at the same time, he's still a journeyman. And even though you've had a good season, if they look to rebuild, he's trade fodder. You know what I mean?
It is one of those positions that I think Houston needs to fix because they really don't have a true number nine.
And he's not going to carry him to MLS Cup. Like, no, I don't believe he'll get there.
But regardless, Corey Baird scores, puts RSL down 1-0. We're going into the break. I still felt confident because of the sense that Chicho Arango was on the bench, and we saw what Chicho did the last time he was introduced into the game. So literally right off the bat, coming into the second half, Pablo Mascherini makes the change to bring Chicho on for Anderson Julio to start that second half.
Yeah, and again, positive change immediately. We instantly look more dangerous. There was a little bit of a lack of a connection, you know, between the midfield and Chicho, but, you know, we still looked better. We started pressing. We actually got some opportunities, which led into Diego Luna, again, doing what Diego Luna does.
What I absolutely love about Diego, what Diego has done for Real Salt Lake over the course of the last like month or 2 months is that you have veteran players at the top, like Justin Glad, team leaders inside the locker room, going up to a 20-year-old Diego Luna and saying, hey, we are here because of you. You have put us in this position. And I love that. I love that that the leadership on this team is making sure that Diego Luna knows that he is such an important piece of this attack.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not wrong. Without him, we're not even in the playoffs, legitimately.
Absolutely.
He's carried this team through that really low peak we had, and he's carried him through getting into the playoffs. Like, he's a very valuable asset at this point.
The RSL savior, as Andy says.
Yeah, as Andy would say.
Diego Luna scores, makes it 1-1 in the 65th. There was a couple of opportunities towards the end, like once we got into like the 80th minute, where Houston looked really, really good going forward, where Real Salt Lake looked really good going forward. And then there was it just back and forth opportunities for both sides. And I thought for a second there, someone was going to score a late 90 minute winner. And then whoever scored that goal was obviously going to make it through.
Yeah, I was really hoping it would be us. I did not want to go to penalties because two penalty shootouts in a row it doesn't bode well, right? Against the same team. And that turns out to be how it came to be. But quickly, breaking news. Sorry, I just got a notification. Guess who the Colorado Rapids hired as their head coach?
Is it Phil Neville?
It's Portland.
He went to Portland, yeah.
It's a very Colorado hire. It's a guy that hasn't done anything in the league, right? Has lost his job before.
Chris Armas.
Yes, sir.
No way.
Yep, it's the Rapids way. I love it. He's totally going to bring them back. Yep. Sorry. had to bring that up because I'm laughing.
I think he had maybe half a good season with Red Bulls and then just didn't really do much for New York and for Toronto.
And for Manchester United.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's such a Rapids hire. Like a guy that, I mean, might be decent, I guess, but he's not going to win you anything.
I think realistically.
Yeah, I could be completely wrong. Watch him just make them a powerhouse.
Which, I mean, at the beginning of the season, you go back and I said the same thing about Ben Olsen going to Houston.
Right, right. So, but at this point, I'm laughing.
Chris Armas anyway, to Colorado.
Back to the game.
Back to the game. Rubio Rubin subs in 82nd minute. Obviously, it's a penalty move at that point. And then the interesting one. I remember DJ was on the broadcast just begging Demir to come on.
Absolutely.
Was like, this would be a perfect time to bring on Demir. This would be a perfect time to bring on Demir. This would be a perfect time to bring on Demir Krylak. And then the board goes up and you see the number 17 and I think everybody's confused.
There was an audible gasp at the Kaye watch party.
Really?
Where there was a solid 200 people, an audible gasp.
Because the clear choice is Domi. If you're on the brink of penalties, he has yet to miss a PK this season. He stepped up in Open Cup. He stepped up in the last round. He is yet to miss one. And instead of Demir Krylak's jersey number going up, we see Danny Musovski's jersey number go up.
And also, you're bringing off Savarino.
For Savarino, which...
Another automatic.
He was limping, but I don't know how much that really would have impacted a PK.
A penalty.
Yeah.
Savarino could have taken the penalty.
Interesting choice just all around. And
that miserable was, choice.
That was the first question that was asked to Pablo yesterday in the exit interviews was, hey, now that you're kind of looking back at the game and the elimination, like why Danny? And his answer was basically like, he is a forward and forwards are supposed to go out there and score PKs. We just needed someone out there to do PKs. And he thought that he did well in practice leading up to the Houston match to be out there to shoot a PK. Which was interesting because we had mentioned that we had gone to practice and watched the PK practices
And he moosed.
Danny wasn't doing so hot.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't get it.
Weird.
He also mentioned, you know, changing the cadence or whatever, but, you know, top teams in the world do not have their best players skip a shootout, no matter the cadence, right? If you would have told me that's the reason Brian Vera didn't take one, right, I would have said, okay.
Yeah.
But you're not going to tell Chicho Arango he's not taking a penalty. Sava and Demir are in that same category for me on penalties.
I agree.
They're guys that know what they're doing. They're composed. And they're going to hit your penalty. Instead, you made the fatal mistake of bringing on a guy that gave up on his team halfway throughout the year, right? Has he played a single minute in the playoffs? I don't think he had.
Not until he got subbed on, I don't think.
Okay, so hasn't been playing, has barely any minutes leading into the playoffs, and you're bringing him on and asking him to take the fifth penalty? Make sense. And it doesn't. Whatever he says to me, I know I'm not a professional coach. It does not make sense, and it won't make sense.
I don't think for anybody in the fan base, it makes any sense that, like you said, the guy who held out, left his team, and in the middle of a poor run of form, nonetheless, yep. And to hold out for a contract and then come back and basically let the season rest on this man's shoulders. I don't think that's a good move.
Dude, if I'm Demir Krylock, I'm never playing for Pablo again. I mean, that's a little harsh, but like that would piss me off. If I'm Savarino, that's like all this stuff that's been going on with Sava on and off the field that's been rumored and is probably true, even though no one will admit to it. That's a final nail in the coffin too, unless Sava has to come off. Like, are you kidding me? This is the worst game management you could have asked for at that point.
So we head into the PKs. Arsenal wins the toss. They decide to go first. Chicho Arango steps up. 1-0. Arsenal has the advantage. Coco Carrasquilla steps up, makes it 1-1. Rubio Rubin, who came on, buries his penalty, makes it 2-1. Thor Ulfarsson makes it 2-2. And then step up Moon Boy, Diego Luna, the RSL savior. And unfortunately, Steve Clark saves it.
Yeah, and, you know, not going to talk bad about Diego Luna at all, right? It happens.
I don't think you can.
No. I mean, that wasn't the best penalty, right?
Sure.
But at the same time, Danny Musovski missed, right? So it's bound to happen. You're a young player, right? You know, you're riding this high. Steve Clark wanted to take that from you. It's, you know, it's almost like the script writers that's what they wanted to happen. You know, no shade towards Diego Luna whatsoever.
And I really don't think you can fault him. And I know people will say, people will come back, well, it's not just Danny who missed. Diego also missed. And yes, it's true. Diego also missed, but
Diego also scored the goal getting us.
There you go. And like
Diego was tired.
Like I said, like Justin Glad said in the postgame presser, like many of his teammates said yesterday at the exit interviews, they wouldn't be there without Diego Luna. And they recognize that. They know that. They've given him that respect. They don't fault him at all for that penalty. And I don't think we as a fan base can fault him either because of what he has done leading up to that penalty.
No. And does it suck? Yes. It sucks Absolutely. For him. It sucks for the fans. But, like, it's soccer, dudes. Like, you know, a couple of our guys missed in 2009 in the final. Obviously, 2013. It happens. Right? Absolutely. Now the question is, how does Diego Luna respond from being on the highest of high, right, back down to that low? Where does he come in and come in next year attacking, right? How does it affect his mentality? That's the big question, right? You don't want this to be the moment that destroys a player or makes a player, really.
And it does suck because it was so obvious how emotional he was at the end of the match. You know, the broadcast showed him multiple times being consoled by his teammates in tears after missing that penalty. And I feel like for a player, just having to sit through the whole preseason with that kind of etched in your mind, it can go one of two ways. Either you'll stay in that mentality and you'll feel maybe sorry for yourself that you missed that PK, or it's just another chip on the shoulder. It's just another, hey, I messed up, but I'm going to bounce back and I'm going to be better. And I think from what we heard from Diego yesterday at the exit interview, he's already in that mentality that I'm just going to grow from this and I'm going to become a better player because of it.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's the case. He hasn't really shown anything other than that this year, right? Absolutely. Like, he's been faced with, you know, coming off the bench. He's been faced with all sorts of stuff. So I see Diego being a very strong-willed player, and that's just going to make him better.
I mean, Bossy steps up, finally scores one against Zach McMath, makes it 3-2. Brian Vera steps up, makes it 3-3, keeps RSL alive. And then the big one, Zach McMath with a save, denying Nelson Quiñones from the spot. And all of a sudden, the tides have turned. Momentum is with mm-hmm. Real Salt Lake. You're back in it. Brian Vera just kept you in it. Now Zach McMath is making a save to keep you guys in it. And up step Danny Musovski.
And there goes our season. Because that's the guy you want.
It sucks, dude, because the second I saw him walk up on the TV broadcast, I was like, oh no, this is it right here, man.
It was telegraphed the whole time. It was so bad. It was so bad. I started to tweet before, like when he got subbed on, about his performance on Thursday, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to give him a chance. Maybe it won't be that bad. I'll just group chat it, right? Steps up, takes the exact same penalty he took Thursday. Tries to go low, tries to go to the inside of the far post. Off the post it goes, right? Same exact thing that happened Thursday. And couldn't help but just feel this little bit of rage growing. and this is where, you know, like, here, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad that Danny Musovski took it. I'm mad that Danny Musovski was in the game to take it, right? This is me having a gripe with the coach making that decision. As we've already gone over, completely asinine. And this is where my complaints about Pablo, this is where I come back to them, right? I think he's, you know, a motivator. He's a nice dude. I like him. But in this situation, that's inexcusable, right? I don't get it. If I imagine I would have loved to see, like, Kurt, Elliot, all those guys' reaction when they saw 17 go up instead of 8. You know what I mean? And Absolutely. Then, you know, conspiracy Josh here thinking, like, is Domi getting Javied, right? Was that the appearance Domi needed to re-trigger his extension so they just didn't want to give it to him? And then all these negative feelings come in, and, like, I don't know if that's the case, right? I'm not saying here nor there, but that's what it feels like, because there's no reason Danny Musovski should have been on the field for that penalty whatsoever.
And even putting, like, the contract situation aside, and even, you know, putting aside all that drama, just watching him walk up to that ball, I didn't feel confident.
No,
I didn't feel confident that he was going to make it. Just by the look on his face, the way he went to go take the ball, I was like, oh man, this is it. This is the season.
Yeah.
And
yep. You knew.
It has nothing to do with the contract. It has nothing to do with how, you know, the end of Danny has come. You know, it's just the confidence level on his face just kind of gave it away.
And but, like, how could he be confident? You know what I mean? He hasn't played.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time he was he actually played.
And, like, you know, I only went to practice on Thursday because that's the only day I could get out there. So I don't have all 3 days worth of whatever. Yeah. But on Thursday, when they practiced penalties, he missed that exact same one, right? As soon as he missed it, went straight to the locker room. Basically, his practice was over.
Yeah.
Demir stayed for another 45 minutes, taking penalties, taking shots with some of the younger guys. Like,
that's huge.
He was ready. He's ready.
That's huge.
I don't want to hear about cadence, dude. I don't want to hear that. You're telling me that if that was Manchester United versus Man City, Erling Haaland and Bruno Fernandes wouldn't be taking their penalties because the goalkeepers might know where they're going? It's ridiculous.
I agree too with that sentiment, because, I mean, you look at any Premier League team, they have their designated penalty takers. When they go to the shootout or when they get a penalty called, you know who's going to go to the spot. And after going to the spot time and time and time and time again, they're still able to convert.
Right, because they can either place it to where a goalkeeper can't touch it. They can read the goalkeeper as much as the goalkeeper can read them. Yeah. They're good enough to change their placement, right? They're not going to go to the same spot every time. It's just, it's stupid. It's stupid. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I don't get it. So I don't know that I'll ever get it. And I'm probably going to catch some flack, but I don't get it.
I don't either, man. I really don't. Danny Musoski steps up, misses, ball comes off the post. Steve Clark celebrates in his face. Griffin Dorsey steps up, and the season's now hanging in the balance of Zach McMath. I can't remember if McMath got close enough to it or didn't, but regardless, Griffin Dorsey puts it into the back of the net, and Houston now have a date with Sporting Kansas City.
You know, Griffin Dorsey sure does talk a lot for a dude with two man buns.
Yes, I think I agree with that one.
I think next season some people are gonna be going out for him because he's got a mouth on him. Yeah,
there, I think after you play a team six times, there's gonna be bad blood there for sure.
Sure, but like apparently for he went sure. up to Pablo after the game and said, have fun watching on your TV or something. Like,
oh really?
Yeah,
I missed that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but if it is, like, bold for an outside back, let me tell you. Had Corey Baird said that, like, whatever, right? Like, throwing fuel to fire. But Griffin, huh? Well, Griffin. Okay.
No, okay. I think definitely just not only just because of the playoffs that we just had, but also go back to the Open Cup where there was that whole situation with Amin Bassi and Brian Vera. There's 100% going to be some bad blood with Houston next season for sure.
Can't wait. It's our new rival.
are they coming up to take Colorado's spot?
Who's Colorado?
There you go. So yeah, RSL's out after the shootout. Some interesting stuff at exit interviews, and I think we'll probably dive more into that. For sure, once we have the Andy with us next week, but
let's get into some of it though.
There's a couple things that I want to talk about and touch on, and one of them is Danny Musoski. I'm sure you guys have all seen the video by now of Danny speaking in the exit interview, saying that he really enjoys the culture, he really enjoys the coaches, the players, but he feels and knows that front office doesn't want him back because of all the drama that happened. And if there was any little bit of doubt that Danny might come back next season, completely out the door after what he said yesterday.
I don't see a way that ownership or the front office would allow him. Right.
And when you go to the
team,
yeah,
you know, like, as his teammates, how do you think that made them feel? Because I know he didn't go at them directly, but like, man.
And considering that a lot of players mentioned in their exit interviews that they felt supported by ownership, and then for Danny to come back and be like, hey, ownership did me dirty. Ownership did me wrong too many times, and it led to my decisions.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this means anything, but from what I've heard, Danny has some weird requests, right? Danny thinks he is a lot better than he is, especially on a salary capped roster structure. And if, you know, not being able to fit your weird demands in because you had a couple good games is doing him dirty, then my guy, have fun at Colorado, you know? Like, you're going to end up at one of those teams that can pay you a lot of money, but you're not gonna go anywhere.
And I have seen. Go ahead.
I've heard he wanted close to $1 million a year.
No,
thank you.
That's a deep level.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank yeah. you.
And I've heard a lot of like counter arguments about like Rubio Rubin and Anderson Julio making a combined like $1.6 million or something.
Yeah, too much.
When, you know, Danny's probably had his best season statistically this year across all competitions. And I mean, in that regard, I could see that argument. But at the same time, it's not. At the same time, it's not the million or the DP level type money that he wanted for sure. He's not at that level. Although I do applaud him for the good season that he did have.
Right, but also, I don't know. Maybe continue those good performances and have this conversation a little later.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. We mentioned it when the holdout situation, we talked about it when all that was going on, and we were saying, hey, when you have to be out on the pitch to earn that. You have to be out on the pitch to show that you deserve that. And when you're holding out and you're not on the field contributing the way that you have been, you are not showing that you are worth that type of money. And that's where we're at with Danny.
Yeah, and you're also not showing that you're willing to be a team player completely. Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't feel bad for him. I think holding out, like I was irritated when Albert did it, right? Like, it's not a good way to go about getting what you want.
And he mentioned it. He said he thought it was going to be a good idea and it was going to have the effect that he wanted, but it did the opposite and it just made people angrier.
Right. And rightfully so. Like,
yeah,
he should probably have a chat with his agent, you know what I mean? And say, wow, that was a bad idea.
Especially the timing of it all, man. He was in form. Right. I'll give him – he was in form, scoring goals. Him and Chicho were building a dangerous, dangerous partnership that I really enjoyed watching.
Yep.
And then for him to just let that all go to waste. He let it all go to waste.
Think of the goodwill. Think of the goodwill had they continued that.
Yeah.
And he bagged, 15 goals. Then sure, let's have that conversation.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. If Danny finishes the season top scorer with 15 goals in Major League Soccer, you have that conversation. And it's I think there's a whole different sentiment between us as media, between fans, between ownership. They might have met him. They might have met him at whatever number he was asking if he would have had a 15 goal season. Yeah. But for him to basically miss the last third of the season and allow himself to lose that form, that good form that he was on, and
be there when we needed him most with Chicho's injury.
Chicho was out for a couple of weeks, and then Arsenal was just free falling at that point of the season.
Yep,
they were going down, 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 and he said it to himself that the only reason he came back was because he felt bad that, and it felt that for a moment there, RSL wasn't going to make playoffs.
Right, but also too little too late because you barely got any minutes.
Yeah.
You never got the opportunity to help us get back in because no one had faith in you anymore. And then here we are, game 3 elimination, and he's taking the final kick.
Make it make sense.
I need a Musovski jersey now just for that weird, memory. If you guys listening don't know, I have some very obscure RSL jerseys, especially flops. I think they're the funnest ones to collect. So that's where I'm coming from for there. But yeah,
you got an Ortuño jersey over there somewhere.
I had one. We actually gave it away. Oh, I'm very sad we gave it away. I had a Euro. I would actually get a Euro again, but I want the 08-09 Euro.
Mm-hmm.
The good Euro to remember.
The MLS Cup winning Euro.
Yep. I had a David Viana. I have a Joni Menendez. I got a few.
I think now that it's all said and done, Danny Musovski is leaving here as a villain. It sucks because he was in such good form. And like I said, I was starting to really enjoy that partnership with him and Chicho up top. But just with everything that happened, I think that Danny Musovski is leaving Rouse Lake as a villain.
Is there any way back for him? Is there anything he can do to not get booed mercilessly if he ever comes back for Jacinto Stadium?
Like I said, any salvageable part of whatever relationship he had with ownership and front office was thrown out the window after what he said yesterday. I truly, truly, truly believe that Danny's time here at Rouse Lake is done.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if he came back. And then it would really make me question a lot of things.
Speaking of which, more exit interviews. Elliot Fall and Pablo Mastroianni were at the podium together. And one of the things that I found very interesting that Elliot Falls said regarding the future is that next season is all about, is going to be more so about player retention than bringing guys in. He said that they're maybe looking at two key pieces to bring in, but it's mostly going to be about keeping what they have now because they believe that Rouse Lake has what it takes to be champions.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good squad. Two or three key pieces, obviously, as long as they're looking at two or three key pieces, right? A center back, maybe an outside back, and, oh boy, another striker would be nice. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not mad at that. I'm fine not having a full rebuild. However, you got Danny. Danny's got to be out.
Yeah.
Sava's got to be out. There's no way Sava comes back, right?
I would like to see him stick around because
there's no way. I would like to see him stick around because
when Jefferson Savarino's locked in, when he's got that killer instinct, he's fantastic. He's a fantastic player, and that's when you love. That's the Savarino I love to see out there. But when he's kind of aloof, when he's not really, when he just seems like he doesn't have his head in the game, he just completely disappears from matches. And during that stretch, we had that conversation where we need Savarino to step up and show more. And maybe he did a little bit towards the end of the year, but I don't know, man. I really hope that all these rumblings and rumors of him being unhappy and him leaving, I hope they're untrue, and I hope he continues to stay here because I think he's a great guy to have around.
Yeah, well, basically, so what I'm getting at is if Musovski's out, if Sava ends up leaving, if Luna gets a good offer, right, then that retention thing is an entirely different conversation.
Yeah.
For me, the retention means Demir is going to stick around. Guys like Chang stick around. And it's fine, but I'm curious what the pieces that they want to add are right now. Yeah. And then what that turns into come winter when, you know, we see Sava go to second division Brazil for $3 million. You know what I mean? Like,
and I love what you bring up about Diego Luna because there is no doubt in my mind that Diego Luna is going to have offers. People are going to come looking for Diego this winter.
Yeah, especially if aren't the Olympics coming up for him?
I believe the Olympics, that's but next there's summer.
Some tournament. Yeah.
Olympics are so, next summer.
I feel like there's another tournament. Oh, it might have been the qualifiers he wasn't going to.
Yeah, there's anyway. Some qualifiers going on this month.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, there's a lot of, you know, international exposure for him coming up as well. And personally, as much as I love Diego Luna, if we can see him get sold for a solid chunk of money and go thrive, like I want that for him, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting. I think he's young enough to, you know, carry this. I think he's young enough to maybe just spend another full season here and really carry this team and see what him and Chicho can really do together with the full season under their belts. But when money talks and once those offers start rolling in, if an offer is good enough and if it's an offer that Elliot and company like, we could very well lose Diego.
What's a good enough offer for you right now? Cause he's clearly the focal point going forward.
How much did Aronson make the jump for?
Which one?
Brandon.
I feel like one of them was like 3 or 4 and one of them was like 7. I'm probably way off there, but
for the sake of the conversation, I don't know. That's a tough one. I would probably maybe say somewhere around 7.
That feels right.
Yeah.
7 to 10. And yeah. I might be convinced to let him go this year. Otherwise stay another year.
Yeah.
I don't want us to take a $2 million offer, a $4 million offer. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and I mean, like this league has been exporting out so much young talent, and it the fees just keep getting going more and more and more. And so it's just going to be interesting to see where if an offer comes in, where the club thinks that it suits Diego.
Right. Because he is what going to be 20.
He'll turn 21 mid-season.
Which like isn't old, but for moving to Europe, that's like when you have to go, otherwise you're too old.
It's a young move. Yeah, it's a young move. He's showed that he's grown a lot over the course of the last year. He showed that he has the quality to really be a solid number 10 and really command this offense. He mentioned that he would love to have more assists next season because he is an attacking midfielder. That's his role. But he's doing good with the goal scoring. And like I said, it'll be really fun to see him and Chicho have a full year together. I think we need to bring in potentially someone else to complement Chicho if Sava does leave and if Danny doesn't come back. So far what I've seen from Rubin and Julio on the field together with Chicho, it doesn't really work.
Well, it's not it. Yeah.
Minus that beautiful cross from Rubin against LAFC. I'll give him that.
Sure. But that was, one in however many minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we definitely need another complimentary striker, especially if Arango gets hurt again, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big question mark. And then I do think we need another winger. I know we had a billion wingers, but I think another DP-esque winger would be dope, especially if Saba leaves. And then Luna can kind of cement himself into the 10.
Yeah. And we'll have that. We'll have this conversation too more in depth with Andy in the wrap up episode sometime next week. But another thing I really, really want to touch on from the exit interviews was there was three common themes that I noticed from every individual player. One being the word unity. Everybody said that they felt like this team was more unified than ever before. Guys who have been here for a while have said that they've never felt supported the way that they do now, which I think is a big testament to not only Pablo, but new ownership and just kind of the culture that they're building there at the moment. Number two, home form. Everybody recognizes that the games at home this season were not good enough. And there was even a moment where Zach McMath made the comment that teams are not afraid to come to Salt Lake anymore. And I thought that was a very interesting comment.
It's a very good comment.
It is a very good comment because this place used to be, people didn't like coming here. Opposing teams would verbally, like Benny Fellhaber, would verbally say how much they hated coming to Salt Lake. Yep. And now it's just not a thing. It's not a thing anymore. And players recognize that now. Guys like Brian Vera said that when they play at home, they were a lot more aggressive and they got too much in their heads. And so they need to figure out a balance between staying back and being composed at home, as opposed to just being aggressive at home, which maybe.
Yeah. I think that could be the case for a couple of them, but there was a lot of just mental absolute lapses at home this year. So,
and that's number three. So many players said that a lot of guys mentally checked out. Because whether it was a longer season, whether it was just feeling, a little attributing to losing Pablo Ruiz, but there was a lot of players who said that the mentality was kind of not there towards the end of the season. And they lost a little bit of that mentality.
Let's be real. That mentality wasn't there at the beginning of the year either, though.
That's true.
We haven't been good home at all this entire year. So
and
came into it a little rough.
It showed a lot. I think it showed a lot more towards that kind of decline at the end of the season, though.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There were some worse performances, right? Worst individual mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, overall, all year long, Rio Tinto Stadium was a disaster. Sorry, America First Field, a disaster.
Yeah. So those were like the three main things that a lot of the players talked about in the exit interviews, and which, I mean, I agree. One, Salt Lake needs to be a fortress again. Two, I don't know, with when you add a League's Cup and you add a bunch of other games, how does a player balance, his focus and stay focused throughout the course of the 55 game season that they're going to be playing?
Listen, every other league in the world does it.
True.
I don't want to say like it's too many, but like you got to figure it out. Everyone else does it.
Yeah.
So figure it out. Maybe that means you mean better depth.
Could be.
Right? Like, I don't know, players 12 through 20 need to be better than they have been in the past. But at the same time, our depth performed well when needed this year. And we honestly played better when we were under the gun of multiple games. So
yeah,
I'm not giving them that. They can't have that one.
I think no matter what, heading into 2024, whatever was in the locker room and during the summer, whatever mentality, whatever was happening inside the locker room during the summer run, they need to hit the ground running with that mentality. Because yep. a lot of the players agreed that when they're playing like that and when they're locked in as they were during the summer,
well, they were contenders.
This is probably one of the better teams in Major League Soccer, and I have yep. to agree.
Yep, I don't disagree at all. But how does the team and the coaches and the front office recreate that magic? We'll find out. But
I think that comes down a lot to the coaching staff.
Yep, and we'll see. We'll see. This winter is going to tell us a lot. So
yeah, like we said, next episode we'll have Andy come in. We'll talk, probably break down players a little bit more individually, kind of give our final thoughts and feelings towards the 2023 season. Maybe start playing a little GM and see what we can figure out. But that's going to do it for this episode of the RSL show. And or Josh, do you want to add anything more?
No, you know, just nice and salty, and I can't wait to watch Houston and SKC battle it out. It's going to be thrilling.
Actually, who's your prediction right now for MLS Cup?
Cincinnati.
Yeah?
I think it's going to be Cincinnati-Seattle final.
I'm going to say something wild.
You think SKC is going?
I think LAFC has a chance to repeat.
Oh, they definitely have a chance, but
I think LAFC has a chance to make it to MLS Cup. And if it's MLS Cup Cincinnati, I'll give it to Cincinnati. But if Philadelphia somehow upsets Cincinnati, I think LAFC can take it.
Yeah, I can see that too. But, you know, right now I'm thinking FC Cincinnati, Seattle.
Okay. All right.
Unfortunately.
At least it's not SKC.
Yeah. And honestly, unpopular opinion here, but I would like SKC to knock Houston out.
Just because it's Houston.
Uh-huh. Just yeah. Because of all the Dorsey talk, Baird, you know, let them be humbled a bit by the lowest seed in the playoffs.
So that's going to do it for us here on the RSL show. If you haven't yet, go over to Twitter. There was a post that Andy made that said fill in the blank and ask for your predictions of 2024. You still have time to go add to that. We'll be reading those off maybe in the next maybe in the next episode. But for now, that's going to wrap up the 2023 portion of the RSL show. We'll still come back with season wrap ups. We'll have some off season content coming to you guys. But for now, keep an eye out for some tweets. Keep an eye out for videos. We're going to try to be doing some stuff on the off season for you guys.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll try.
We'll be back next week with Andy to wrap up 2023. But from Joshua Clark and from Alex Napolis, thank you for listening to the RSL show on the KSL Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.
Later.